They forget the lock. It's like Mayberry. Forget to lock the doors. I don't think in Mayberry they even forgot to lock the doors of the bank. All right, coming up a little after 7 o'clock, Corey Hartman from Sevier Studios is going to be here. And we're going to talk about the weather. Now, what is going on in the midsection of this country? Wow. At 7:30, Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters is going to join us, talk about the new movies coming out. And at 7:50, Mike Clemens is going to be here. And we've got a guest in the box last night calling the games here on WRJN. Did you hear it? All right, we'll play you the clip. That's coming up right here at WRJN, Hometown Radio, Refreshed. It's 7 o'clock.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A blistering heat dome is expanding today from northeast back into the Midwest and beyond. The heat index is expected to climb to around 100.
We have been at the pool every day this week. We start out with swim practice, and then we stay and hang out for the day.
That's in Youngstown, Ohio. Heat-related problems have made a mess of travel on trains between Philly and Connecticut. CBS New York's Christina Phan is at the train station in Secaucus.
We know NJ Transit this morning is running on or close to schedule, but for Amtrak, it's a different story. Officials with Amtrak reported that several trains were canceled overnight. This is now the fourth time in about a month. Both transit agencies have reported significant problems resulting in delays, suspensions, and lots of frustrated travelers.
Washington, D.C.'s subway system had to restrict above-ground trains over fears the tracks might be warped by the heat. They're dealing with a double disaster now in New Mexico. Deadly fire and heavy rain that's triggered flash flooding. CBS's Jared Hill reports.
In fire-ravaged Ruidoso, New Mexico, blackened trees and homes burned down to the foundation by two wildfires simultaneously raging around the mountain village. Tashina and Adrian Collazo fled earlier this week. They don't know if there will be anything left to return to.
But this one, it just hits different when it's your home.
The South Fork and Salt fires have scorched more than 20,000 acres, destroying about 500 homes, claiming at least two lives.
The Supreme Court could announce rulings today on several major cases, one of them a near total ban on abortion in Idaho. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The Biden administration is arguing that conflicts with a federal law that requires hospitals that get Medicare funding to provide stabilizing care in emergencies, which could potentially include, for some women, an abortion.
President Biden's at Camp David, prepping for next Thursday's debate with Donald Trump. Correspondent Robert Costas' prediction.
You're going to see at the debate, I'm told by sources, overtures to working voters nationwide from Trump, talking about getting rid of any kind of taxation on tips for employees who are working jobs like at a Las Vegas restaurant or a casino or any restaurant nationwide.
The people of Grand Rapids, Michigan are on a mission.
The ruby slippers, what have you done with them?
Judy Garland's hometown hopes to buy a pair of the ruby slippers she wore in The Wizard of Oz at auction. They were stolen in 2005 when they were on loan to the city's museum. This year, an FBI sting helped return them to their original owner, a collector who is putting them up for sale now. Estimated value, more than $1 million. S&P futures down 6. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks. With 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin, go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Chaos erupted outside the Walmart in Mount Pleasant last night as a brawl involving six people broke out in the parking lot. Police were called to the South Oaks Road store at around 7:30, where they discovered a man with facial injuries resulting from the fight. The incident took a more serious turn when the victim began seizing. South Shore Fire and Rescue led the response. We're working on learning more. A search is still underway for a missing Racine man. 68-year-old Jeffrey Cluey vanished after putting a canoe into Lake Michigan June 7th. While Cluey's car was found at the Pershing Park boat launch, it's not known where he is now. The Racine Police Department has issued a be-on-the-lookout alert in Kenosha and Walworth counties, with the case not meeting official missing person criteria. How a box truck started on fire in Kenosha yesterday isn't known, but it did impact power and internet service in the area. The white box truck caught fire near the Dairy Queen on Highway 50 early in the afternoon, with flames reaching overhead utility lines. No injuries were reported. There had been an advisory on Racine's North Beach and Zoo Beach yesterday, although it was related to the current, not E. coli. The city posts the beach statuses on their website, and they indicate why a yellow caution will go up. In addition to visual monitoring, the water is tested at the beaches daily. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
The Brewers lose in San Diego. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For a while there, it looked like the Brewers were going to pull one out in the ninth. Down 4-1 in the first, Milwaukee tied the game with Jake Bauer scoring from second and Reese Hoskins at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
And Hoskins turns on one deep into left field.
Brewers reliever Yoel Piamps gave up a walk-off home run to Jake Cronenworth with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and the Padres went on to win 7-6 over the Crew. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
We did a lot of great things. Came up clutch there at the clutch time, Hoskins, and it's tough when you don't come out on top.
The four-game series continues through the weekend. Hockey, game six tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Oilers, down 3-2 in the best of seven, will host the Panthers, who failed to clinch at home in Florida on Tuesday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens, sponsored by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Cash battles for a share of $200,000 in June. More info at paysbig.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the mid to upper 70s, cooler by the lake. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 65. 88, a little warmer for your Saturday with a chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. For tomorrow night, showers and storms and a low of 68.
It's 64 at our studios.
Remember when the ice cream man used to come to town when you was little? And no matter what you was doing, you would stop and lose your mind? There's something about the ice cream truck that make kids lose it. And they can hear that from 10 blocks away. They don't hear their mother calling them, but they hear that ice cream truck. And no matter what was going on, the ice cream man came to stop. You hear, ice cream! Thank you, and you get your ice cream. I get my ice cream, and I didn't eat it. I sang for a little while, you know. You know how kids are, I'd be going,
I have some ice cream. I have some ice cream.
No, it'd be one kid on the side, they get no ice cream, and kids don't care. They go,
you don't have no ice cream. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. Because you are on the welfare. And you can't afford it.
Other kids join in.
You can't afford it. You can't afford it. And his father is an alcoholic. He wants some ice cream. He wants to eat some of my ice cream, but wanna lick? Psych. You want some ice cream. You want some ice cream.
W-R-J-N. That Eddie Murphy bit, I laugh every time. Corey Hartman is with me. He's vice president of engineering here at Civic Media, but that's not what he's here for today. He's also the owner of Severe Studios, who does weather forecasts for radio stations all over the country, including WRJN. And I want to ask Corey, first of all, about all these tornadoes ripping towns apart in the midsection of this country. It seems like every day there's a new tornado and the town is just wiped out. I never remember hearing this before, but here it is. So, Corey, what's going on?
Yeah, so we see about every decade or so, maybe every 12 years or so, we see this cycle where we've got a very active tornado season, and this year just happens to be that year. And also one of the things that we've seen recently you know, over the last decade and a half is that a lot of the big tornado producing storms are not in the traditional tornado alley. They've been more from, Chicago to, you know, Birmingham, Alabama. But this year it is back in traditional tornado alley. It is the plains and down into Texas. And these tornadoes are they're big, they're bad. And just about every day in May had a tornado somewhere in the country.
First time I ever saw a tornado, I was living in Atlanta working at a big radio station, and we were the official station for like three or four states. And I had to go on the air and talk about tornadoes. I was like 24 years old. I was shaking like a leaf because the engineer said, they're all depending on you. What? Don't put that on me. What do you mean they're depending?
Don't mess it up.
Okay, so we live in Racine, and we're always told we can't get tornadoes because we're protected by the lake. I think it's a lot of hooey.
It's definitely a lot of hooey. Tornadoes will go wherever tornadoes want to go. I mean, I'm talking to you here from Baraboo, and then we've got the big Baraboo Bluffs here, and everybody tells me about the bluffs and the Native American burial grounds and every other wives' tale that you can imagine as to why we will absolutely never get a tornado or the storms always go around us. Well, that's just called luck. Now, in the Racine area, there might be just a very, very small percentage of truth there, because what happens in the afternoon, you get that lake breeze that comes in, right? And it's cooler and it's drier, and that could tend to slow a storm down a little bit. But just because a tornado hasn't happened in your town doesn't mean it never will. There's always a chance, especially this time of year where we're in the peak season of tornadoes.
Hurricane season's coming up, and I lived through two hurricanes on Long Island. We had a few come through, but my daughter lives in Florida, and I think she gets very nervous when she hears a hurricane's on the way. But at least with a hurricane, you have several days' notice. With a tornado, you got 1 hour to get your act together. That's about it.
Yeah, 1 hour to maybe 10 minutes if you're lucky. Depends on what side of the county you live on. I mean, as far as hurricane season though, I mean, we can start to look at patterns. We can start to look at climatology and that sort of thing. It really starts, you know, now and goes through the, mid to end of November. And the National Weather Service put out their prediction just a couple of weeks ago as to what they think the hurricane season is going to be like. And they say there's a 5% chance of a below normal season. So it's probably not going to be below normal for the number of named storms. A 10% chance of a normal season. And if you do the math, that means there's an 85% chance of an above normal, more busy, more frequent, stronger potentially hurricane season than the climatological average of, the last 50 years or something. So it's a pretty high confidence that we will have, somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 named storms. Probably 10 of those will become hurricanes, and there's an above average chance that that those could be major hurricanes, Cat 3, 4, and God help us 5. But I think you can take a few of the tidbits and signs, read the tea leaves kind of thing from the tornado season, and maybe transpose some of that to the hurricane season. Of course, there's completely different aspects that go into those things, but I think this year is just going to continue to be very active, and of course we hope that's not the case. I don't personally like hurricanes. I don't chase them. I'm more of a tornado guy, growing up in the landlocked Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But through Severe Studios, we've got tons of storm chasers that do like to chase hurricanes. And they're keeping a very close eye on that for our chasers and streamers and media partners.
Now, the last 2 years, we've got very little snow falling. I didn't use my snow blower for the last two winters. Is something changing there?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few people who specialize in climate and climate change and averages and all of those things who are taking a look at the weather patterns every year we hear more about like polar vortex and all of those things. A lot of those words were things that were already in existence. We're just paying attention to them more now because of social media and the news cycle that never ends. And we've got what, I think four 24-hour weather channels now that do, you know, they need stuff to talk about. So we talk about all those things. But as far as, you know, the snow itself, I mean, I think everybody likes a mild winter, but boy, that sure affects our neighbors, especially to the north. In northern Wisconsin was pretty much decimated from a tourism standpoint this winter, with almost no snow and no, you know, no snowmobiling or any of the things that bring people to the northern third of the state during the winter. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some studies and some more to be looked at there, but things have definitely changed from when I was younger.
Let's talk about tornadoes once again. Barneveld, Wisconsin. Yeah. When I first moved here, Barneveld was wiped out by a tornado, a couple of tornadoes.
That was an F4, yeah.
Yeah, and I went down there, and in the town, they have like a diorama, photographs, the before and after of what the town looked like. And you're standing in front of a bank that was ripped in half, and you could see the old half and the new half of the bank. They said everything was wiped out with just a handful of houses. So all the houses look new and modern, with the exception of the ones who were wiped out. Now, I remember on the CBS Evening News, they just showed the water tower for Barneveld. And I've spoken to people there. I went into the diner, and they love to talk about it. And guy who was running the cash register was an emergency worker that day, and he told me the whole story. It happened in the middle of the night. Nobody knew it was coming. They caught him by surprise.
It was, and we're talking about, you know, June, you know, actually right around this day in June of 1984. So, you know, we're help me do the math there. What is that, 40 years almost to the day?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a widespread outbreak that really took place over 2 days from North Dakota all the way to Kansas. The Barneveld tornado was actually an F5 as I look it up here. But it was an outbreak that was across three states. It killed 13 people in the outbreak, but nine of those were in Barneveld, Wisconsin alone. And to kind of get back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, I'm pretty sure the people of Barneveld up until that day said it would never happen there.
Everybody says that. It'll never happen here. You know, we have the sirens tested the first Saturday of every month. At 4 p.m., they test the tornado sirens so people know what to listen for and they can hear them. You know, sometimes
I wish they would tear them all down.
Oh, the tornado sirens?
I want people to have a weather radio. I want them to have apps on their phone. I want them to have neighbors, friends, and relatives who will call them because the storm is on the west side of town and it's heading toward their house on the east side of town. And I would like people to listen to the media again, especially for weather, you know, politic bent and whatever else. Weather's pretty much up the middle. You know, there's some consternation about climate change out there. But really, when a tornado is heading down your main street, that guy in the suspenders on the screen pointing at your city and your town and your street on the map is your best defense against severe weather. It's not listening for the siren.
I want to wrap up with the movie Twister that came out years ago, and now Twisters is coming out. It's about storm chasers. And do you see yourself in that picture with these storm chasers?
Oh, man. You know, I've gone through, you know, that came out the year I graduated from high school, and I've gone through three steps with that movie. I thought at first that it was absolutely how storm chasing was, and then after starting storm chasing, I realized, oh, there's a lot of parts in there that are not exactly technically accurate. And now I've gone almost completely back to the fact that was a documentary. The drama and the crazy things that happen, you know, we don't usually have a tornado outbreak that lasts, you know, from midday one day to sun up the next day. So that's a little bit out of the you know, realm of reality. But everything else, the crazy people and the drama and the media guys and the guys that go out and get a bunch of money and say they're doing it for science and all of that stuff, all of that I'm here to tell you is 100% accurate. And so I've seen the trailer for the new one. I don't know exactly what the storyline is going to be in the new one, but I do know a lot of chasers who contributed to that movie, either through footage or just as a consultant or an extra or whatever. And so, yeah, we're all going to be watching it. But of course, we're going to take the whole thing with a grain of salt, just like the original.
And I think most children, their first introduction to a tornado was The Wizard of Oz.
Sure.
When Dorothy gets taken away. And they filmed it with a muslin sheet going around in circles. And it looked real when I saw it on the screen. And I've seen it in the movie theater. And it looked real to me.
And I'll tell you though, there's nothing more awe-inspiring in this world that I can think of from a Mother Nature standpoint than to be there in a field in Kansas with nothing around, nothing for it to hit but some grass or wheat. And watching a gigantic rotating supercell that is 50,000 feet into the sky, and then this tiny little tornado comes down and grows and moves and does all of the things that tornadoes do. And you can just be that close to something that is very, it can be awe-inspiring. They can be beautiful, but they can also be dark and deadly. And of course, ones at night that impact towns, that's the stuff we don't like to see. But there is just something different about seeing that in person versus through video or through, movie or CGI interpretation. So if this is something that people do like, if you do like weather, that's okay. It's okay to like weather. And there are tour companies and everything else you can imagine that would be happy to take you out and show you what supercells in the plains look like.
And Auntie M doesn't come by in a rocking chair and wave at you.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. We have seen cows fly, though.
Thank you, Corey. Corey Hartman is the owner of Severe Studios, and he's watching the weather for us right here 24 hours a day on WRJN. Thank you, Corey.
Von Hassel Jewelers is an American Gem Society retailer, a certified gemologist appraiser, and graduate gemologist, serving Racine, Kenosha, and the Milwaukee area for over 20 years. Whether you need custom jewelry design, repairs, the newest in jewelry fashion, or appraisals for insurance, estates, and more, their experience is remarkable. Von Hassel will come to you at the bank, attorney's office, or other jewelry stores across the Midwest. Open Tuesday through Friday and by appointment on Saturdays in downtown Racine. Qualified, educated, knowledgeable, trusted. That's the Von Hassel way.
Summer's heating up, and so are the deals at Studebaker's in Racine. Fuel up and feast. When you purchase 10 gallons of gas, you'll receive a coupon for a free two-topping pizza right next door at the Dish Restaurant. That's right. Fill up your tank, check out the refreshing sips and snack sensations, and grab your free two-topping pizza coupon for the Dish. Offer valid while supplies last. See store for details. Swing by Studebaker's Fuel and Food at 31 in Spring, Racine's home of convenience, selection, service, and savings.
Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order an app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk. Huh? Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Von Hassel Jewelers on Main Street in Racine. Serving southeastern Wisconsin for over 20 years, Von Hassel is a certified full-service jewelry retailer, appraiser, and custom designer. They'll come to you at the bank, attorney's office, or another jewelry store within the Midwest to satisfy your needs. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and receive 50% savings on your Big Deals gift certificates. WRJN Big Deals.
Local news and timeless hits. It's our renewed commitment to Racine. For 97 years, people have depended on WRJN for local news, and we continue that tradition hourly every weekday. Now, along with Brewers, Badgers, Packers, Bucks, and high school sports, WRJN features the timeless hits that lifts everyone's spirits. Hometown Radio Refreshed with local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
Sudden, I see Sheriff Gunn.
Blues and Timeless Hits, WRJN with the great Eric Clapton. Don't get much better than him. I Shout the Sheriff. It's 729, and listen to this. Did your father ever give you really good advice? A guy in Michigan hit the lottery for $7.2 million and says it only happened because he listened to some advice his dad gave him. You see, he used to play different numbers on the lottery every time until his dad told him, choose a set he liked and stick with him. So he did that. He played the same numbers for a few years, and they finally hit. And by the way, in case you're interested, 22, 24, 26, 40, 41, 44. Maybe I'll take his father's advice and play those numbers. Huh? It's 7:30. It's news time. We've got movie talk coming up with Brett Hoffman on the other side of the news here at WRJN.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The first full weekend of the summer could be a little stormy. The National Weather Service is warning of storms for later today and tomorrow afternoon. High winds and hail are possible, the latest coming up in the forecast. Racine prosecutors have charged a 16-year-old in connection with a series of seven shootings that took place over 2 days in December. The incidents, which took place in several locations in the city and county, resulted in injuries to two people. Two felonies have been filed. Police say they have surveillance footage that reportedly links the teenager to the crimes. There are signs up next to Shag Bark in Kenosha telling people what's going on. A public-private partnership between the city of Kenosha and the Root Pike Watershed Initiative kicked off this week, aiming to restore native vegetation on 35 acres. The area in question is between Bradford and Bullen on Kenosha's north side. The project, supported by grants, will transform a stormwater retention area into a prairie. Officials hope that will reduce flooding, improve water quality, and provide outdoor education opportunities. The move will convert the existing dry pond into a more ecologically friendly space. Kids playing at Racine Parks this summer will be a little safer. The City of Racine's Parks Department is expressing their gratitude to the City of Racine Fire Department for providing CPR and AED training to their playground leaders. The training took place recently at the Chavez Center. A statement says the training helps make sure playground leaders are prepared to handle medical situations. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Today, we'll find out what's been happening with milk production, not just in Wisconsin, but across the United States. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. You know, one key number we've got to keep an eye on today is cow numbers. How many of those milkers are still out there? Remember, we've got high path avian influenza that dinged milk production in some states, and we've also seen a fairly steady slaughter number when it comes to our dairy industry. Mike North, principal with EverAg out of Platteville, says that slaughter number is going to become key.
We're watching cow slaughter numbers. They've been low since last fall. We continue to see, you know, some improvement, and those revisions kind of speak to it. Bottom line is we might start to breach and, like other parts of the world, produce more milk than we did last year. So we're watching for that point. We're not sure exactly when it happens, but it could be in the main numbers. So we'll see how that plays. But yeah, definitely tight, definitely not building inventory. And that's what's allowed these markets to run.
Mike North, principal with EverAg out of Platteville, he's not only watching what's going on with our slaughter numbers in the dairy sector, he said he's also going to watch for revisions on milk production from previous months. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning all trending pretty firm.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Product prices got dinged yesterday in Chicago. The barrel cheese finished down a penny at 193. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday, down 0.75 cents, 185 and a quarter. Double A butter, down 2.75 cents to 308 a pound. Now this morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up 21 cents right now at 19.98. The August milk currently trading 8 cents lower, 20.51 a hundredweight. The December new crop corn is up a penny at 4.58. November new crop soybeans up 2.5 right now, 11.19. July new crop wheat up just a half at 5.73 a bushel. I'm PM Yankee.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the mid to upper 70s, cooler by the lake. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 65. 88, a little warmer for your Saturday with a chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. For tomorrow night, showers and storms and a low of 68. It's 64 at our studios.
My friend asked me if I ever went swimming with dolphins. I said, yeah, definitely. I mean, what distance are we talking about from the dolphins? I'm pretty sure I swam with all of them the last time I was in the ocean. Sometimes I want to go swimming without dolphins. I got to find a swimming pool. I love pools. I don't have a pool, but, you know, a pool is fun. Except there's one thing I don't like about swimming in a pool. It's what happens to the other people that you go swimming with. If they get in the pool before you do, it's like they all suddenly join this cult whose only mission is to get you to join them in the pool. I feel bad for people who can't float. That must be a bad feeling when you're like, God, any dead body can do this, and I can't do this. That's a confidence killer.
And let's say hello to Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. And good morning, Brett. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
I would say warming up the projectors, but you guys don't use projectors anymore. So
we do use projectors. They're just digital. They're not 35 millimeter anymore.
Well, but you don't have that big bulb in there, that big arc bulb that you used to have, that, you know, that giant bulb that, you know, the film was shown through on the screen. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I like the old ways, but I'll tell you something. You can't replace digital projection. I've never seen a movie so clean and sharp. Film was never able to do that.
You know, I was talking to someone, you know, a few weeks ago and telling him that. Remember when you used to see the dirt on the screen? Remember
yes,
when there was an
yes.
occasional roller scratch?
Yes.
I mean, all those things no one has to deal with right now. You're always seeing the movie in like-new condition.
You know, that green line that used to go up and down to when the film scratched. You know, you used to run the film for, like, weeks, and it got scratched going through the projector. And you just kept showing it with scratches. There was really nothing you could do about it. Especially if you were a small theater, they didn't send a new print out. You had to live with the old one. But here's something I miss. When they used to say, in 70 millimeter. Well, you can't. 70 millimeter is not going to look any better than the digital projection. It's just not. So they stopped filming in 70 millimeter. And that kind of, I used to love that.
Though is remember last year for Oppenheimer, Chris Nolan brought back 70 millimeter prints. He also brought back 35 millimeter prints. So keep looking out for them. There are special occasions and directors that bring that out, and we were very happy to show that at our Brookfield, Wisconsin cinema at the Marcus Majestic. So keep an eye out for it. We'll definitely bring those back when we have the chance.
Do you still have projectors then in some of the theaters, huh?
Oh, there are a couple projectors that we have, obviously. For special occasions, there's things that we need to do to show those movies.
Okay.
But we did that for Oppenheimer, and I think we'll kind of look at that for some of these other special moments to do that. For the right movie at the right time, it's definitely a treat. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so we've got two new films opening up this weekend in theaters across the country. Let's talk about them.
Yeah, the first is an R-rated movie, and it's called The Bike Riders. Now, this was inspired by a photo book of the same name, and it's about the lives of this Midwest motorcycle club and the club members that are in it. The movie is R-rated. It's violent, but it stars Tom Hardy, Austin Butler, Judy Comer, and Michael Shannon, and many more. This is about that motorcycle gang. They're a gang in the movie called The Vandals, and They're a club in Chicago, and there's also an offshoot of their club that's in Milwaukee. So very local, especially for the folks down there at Racine, because the club kind of transitions into just being like a normal motorcycle club to getting involved in other things, and this underworld of motorcycle club violence and all kinds of other dealings. But it's about the story of the people that run the club and what goes on with it. It is very well done. It is very well acted. I'd recommend that people go out and see this one, and it's The Bike Riders.
You know, I remember the bike movies of the 60s. I know I'm dating myself, but I remember when they had Run Angel Run, Hell's Angels on Wheels, Hell's Angels 69, all these biker movies that were just dominating the drive-in theaters for the most part. But they did show them in regular theaters as well. And here we've come full circle. We've got The Bike Riders.
It is a great movie. I actually saw it last fall at a summit, and I've been dying to tell people about it because I've been under embargo, and it's been just great to tell people about this movie, The Bike Riders.
You didn't tell me? I'm your friend.
The other one that we have coming
up. Wait a second. Hold it.
Go ahead.
You didn't tell me. I'm your friend.
That's right.
You kept this secret from me. Okay, go ahead. What's our second movie?
The next movie is called The Exorcism, and this is a horror movie. It stars Russell Crowe. He's a troubled actor who begins to exhibit this disruptive behavior while he's shooting a horror film. And basically, his daughter finds him that he's slipping back into his past addictions, that there might be something more sinister at play. So Russell Crowe, it's a horror film. It's called The Exorcism, and those are the two new movies that are on screen this weekend.
Now, there was a big box office bonanza. Inside Out 2 just dominated the box office with hundreds of millions. What was that all about?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Inside Out 2 last weekend brought in $155 million. Now, since then, it has added another $100-plus million. So the movie is over $250 million so far. It's going to be the number one movie at the box office this weekend. And I think this is a testament to the strength of movie theaters and movie-going exhibition. This movie is the second biggest animated release of all time. The only movie that was bigger than it is another Pixar film, Incredibles 2, several years ago. And it's also the biggest movie release since we had Barbie last summer. Inside Out 2 is a movie that everyone can enjoy. It's a Pixar film. It is done right. We call this 3 to 80 to 90, any age can watch this movie, and that's what's perfect, young or old. And it has done so tremendously. I originally thought Deadpool was going to run away with the number one movie at the box office this summer, and I'll tell you, Inside Out 2 may just give it a run for its money because it's doing so well, and we've heard so many reports this year about, is the box office dying? What's wrong with the box office? Because it was a little slow the first half of the year, but now we're getting into the bulk of movies. Now we're getting into these other movies that people are really excited to see this summer, and I'll tell you, not only is this summer going to be strong, but we're going into a fall and a winter that just have a ton of blockbuster hits that everyone's going to enjoy.
So Disney did well by buying Pixar.
They did well. I mean, never count them out. I mean, they've had a couple movies that have not done, a ton of money at the box office recently. However, this Inside Out 2 is so good, and I'm telling everyone, if you haven't gone and seen this, go out and watch the movie. What's so relatable about it is it's about Riley. Originally, we saw her as kind of a baby and as a toddler and growing up in the first one. She's a teenager going through adolescence now. We've all gone through that ourselves, or we've all had kids that have gone through that. And now we get to see, you know, these imaginary people pulling levers in our brains when we're going through that phase of our life. It is so relatable, and I think that's the power that Pixar does. Whether it's a love story with two robots and Wall-E, that's my favorite movie, or whether it's a movie like Up, which is so sentimental as we see the older gentleman's journey in that movie. Pixar knows how to really look into our emotions and talk about things that are very relatable, and that's why I think they're so successful.
Now, who owns Deadpool and Wolverine? That's the movie you were talking about a moment ago. Who owns that?
Yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine is Disney. So Disney.
Disney.
Is
that's what I
that
thought.
Picture.
So you tell me Disney's going to dominate the summer box office, in other words.
That's exactly right. It's a Fox title, but of course Fox is under Disney's umbrella. So we're going to see, you know, look at that. You've got this Inside Out 2 movie, and then you've got Deadpool. They are going to duke it out themselves for the number one movie at the box office this summer. There's also a wild card in there. You've got Despicable Me 4 that's coming out during the 4th of July. Universal has definitely has a great pedigree with the Minions movies and the Despicable Me movies, and that one's going to be huge as well. So just a ton of great things coming down the pike.
Let's talk about your new best friend, Kevin Costner, who you got to be in the same room with. You didn't meet him, though, but you were in the same room with him, which is kind of a first-generation thing when you're in the room with somebody. Okay, so Kevin Costner's got a new epic coming out. It's a Western epic. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's called Horizon, an American Saga, and what they're doing is they're doing this differently. So it's Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. They're going to be released both this summer. Next week on the 28th, you're going to see Horizon, American Saga, Chapter 1 on our screens, and then you're going to go to August 16th and see Horizon Chapter 2. So it's really neat. You're going to see about 6 weeks apart this Chapter 1, Chapter 2 saga unfold on the big screen. They're both nearly 3 hours long.
Oh.
And I can tell you, the Horizon Chapter 1 debuts next week. Everyone is going to enjoy this film. It is a beautiful, breathtaking Western, panoramic vistas all around. It was shot in Utah, and Kevin Costner directs and stars in these films. So this is something that really hasn't been done before, doing, you know, a part one and part two during the summer. And I'd like everyone to check this one out, because it's just amazing to watch the visuals on the big screen and watch this Western unfold.
Did you see it?
I have seen it. I can't tell any more about the movie than what I have. Next week we can chat all about it. But okay. I can tell you, I really enjoyed it. People are really going to enjoy it. I think it's a spectacular movie. I was able to see that. I was able to see it, and I can tell you, I am like on the edge of my seat to see part two, and I have to wait till August to see that one. So chapter two, I'll have to wait for. But I can tell you, chapter one. If you like Yellowstone, if you like Westerns, even if you just like those, you know, great dramas or just great filmmaking that Kevin's done before, you're going to enjoy Horizon American Saga.
I told you, I heard an interview with Kevin Costner this week. He actually asked Steven Spielberg if he could direct and star in Schindler's List, and he auditioned with a bald cap at Steven Spielberg's house for the role of Oscar Schindler in Schindler's List. And then he said to Spielberg, "Can I direct?" I'm surprised Spielberg didn't throw him out. And this was back before he had, you know, Dances with Wolves and all these movies. I mean, he was brand new. Could you imagine Spielberg handing over the reins of Schindler's List to a first-time director?
I tell you, it was interesting meeting him for what I did. And for anyone that goes to Marcus Theaters right now, you know, Greg Marcus does a greeting before every film.
Yeah.
We have a special sit-down between Greg Marcus and Kevin Costner that is on our screens before every single movie. So if you go to see a movie this weekend, you're going to see Greg Marcus and Kevin Costner talking a little bit about this Horizon American saga.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's a really great piece, and it's really lighthearted and fun. So for those Greg fans out there and everyone that just likes, you know, loves that greeting like I do, it's really neat to see him and Kevin talk together.
And Greg Marcus used to own this radio station, WRJN, at one time, too. All right, we're going to talk again next Friday, and we're going to talk more about the Costner film, because then you'll be able to tell us, even though I'm a friend of yours. We'll find out all together next week, and looking forward to it, okay?
All right, sounds great. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too, Brett. Thank you. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters this morning. Next, we're talking sports.
Check, check, 1, 2.
These sounds can only mean one thing. It's Summerfest!
Milwaukee, are you ready?
600 artists, 12 stages, one epic lakefront. Don't miss 3 unforgettable weekends of music, June 20th through July 6th. Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance. Find tickets, lineup, and more at summerfest.com.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The sports guy is here. Our favorite Mike Clemens used to be sitting in this seat in mornings at WRJN. Now he's in charge of sports for us. And the Brewers are in first place.
They still are.
They're still in first place. And they're on the West Coast taking on the Padres. So what's going on with them?
Well, they got off to a bad start last night. This Bryce Wilson was starting, and he gave up like 4 runs and 3 home runs. Early in the game, but then the Brewers came back. They battled back. They ended up losing 7-6 in a walk-off home run by one of the Padres. But you know, these Brewers are fun to watch every single night. They got a huge setback in news. It was kind of expected. You know, they've been going through all these pitchers. It's Wade Miley done for the year, and Brandon Woodruff, he'll be back next year. And so they keep on bringing in. So they brought up a young guy, 25-year-old Robert Gasser. What a great name for a guy who can throw fastballs, right?
Yeah.
But then after winning 3 or 4 games, he starts having this sore left elbow. He's a lefty. And they had to shut him down. He went to 3 different doctors, and now he's decided he's going to have to get the Tommy John surgery. That'll put him out over a year, year and a half or so. So they lose him. So they just keep on finding these young pitchers and bring them up. They had brought up another one last night who pitched an inning of this Bradley Braylock. So the Brewers are doing great. They're doing amazing things, and if they could just get some pitching help, maybe they'll make a trade. They may make a serious run here.
Let's talk about the guest announcer in the booth last Saturday night.
So this is funny. I was actually going to cover. Well, I usually cover all the home games when they're at American Family Field, and I travel with them on the road. I went to Fenway and covered their series against the Red Sox. But I got an invite leaving the mini camp in Green Bay from a buddy of mine that's a reporter to his backyard daughter's graduation party. So there I am Saturday night. I'm looking at my phone, and all of a sudden, my buddies are up in the press box at American Family Field. Brewers are playing the Reds. And they're taking selfies with Snoop Dogg. Like, what is going on? So Snoop Dogg, this incredible rapper, you even see him like in the grocery stores, like selling batteries or lighters with Martha Stewart. Have you seen that?
No.
Those displays? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's everywhere. He he had a concert at Pottawatomie. They've got a new outdoor venue now, and I think he was the first one to perform there. The genius marketer that he is, he showed up to the ballpark and took selfies with everybody in the media, shook hands with some of the fans, and then they even brought him into the Bally Sports Wisconsin booth with Brian Anderson and Bill Schrader, and they had him call the game.
Sanchez on the 1-2. What I told you, get it in there. Oh, he in there. That's Sanchez. That's yes. I told you, baby. We call that an easy walk in the park. That's a base hit. Give him a single. He does like to mingle. And my favorite jingle is the S to the N. Double O, no, no. He's taking off. He gone. He gone. Let him get there. Where'd he go, Perk? Earn mine. You got to earn mine, Perk. You got to earn mine. You getting mine back. You getting my respect. There
making
you go,
up, making up for that playing center, isn't he?
I hope it ain't nobody like that at this part.
Ring him
got
up.
Got him
too.
Up out of there. Ring that up. 4-4, have a seat. Pull up a chair.
Two outs for Bryce Wilson.
Oh, Bryce is nice.
The sound.
Yeah, just like this. Got that sound?
Up the middle. Hit the back.
He got that rocket.
Yeah.
Did he get there?
He made a great play.
Oh,
India.
Oh, they got some. Who was that? India?
That is India.
Second baseman.
Former rookie of the year.
I like his hair, man. Look at his hair. How his hair be bouncing. His hair bounced like mine.
So good flow.
What is he using? Head and shoulders?
It's good body.
It's like Troy Polamalu. That's why I say, what does he use? Head and shoulders?
That's good.
He got his hair game together. Where to go, India? Yeah, I know. Oh, he gone. He took that. Get up in there. He took that. Give him that. Where to go? Go eat. 22 eating right now.
So can you listen to that for 9 innings?
What's that?
Could you listen to that for 9 innings?
Well,
let me tell you something.
Rate him for me.
Have you ever heard of Snoop Dogg's Snooper Bowl?
No.
Yeah, there was like a piece in Time magazine, and years ago I was at Super Bowl 42 in Arizona, and I saw this was on the program events the day before the Super Bowl. It was the Snooper Bowl, and it was at an open field, open to the public. Snoop Dogg put his money into youth football leagues when he started to become, you know, wealthy as a rapper. And so he gets these kids, and they have fun nicknames. You know, instead of Rosen on the back, it might be Road Dogg or something like that, okay? And he pays for all their, you know, fancy uniforms. He has a DJ out there and music and cheerleaders and everything. So these 11- and 12-year-olds, you know, it's like a hip-hop version of football. It was one of the best. It was him against the former NFL quarterback, Mack Leinart, with their two teams playing against each other. A lot of fun. I think he's actually got a movie out coming out about that later this fall. But, yeah, I got a chance to meet him years ago doing a Snooper Bowl. Pretty fun.
I watched the Puppy Bowl.
There's the Puppy Bowl, too. Yes,
and now
that.
The Kitten Bowl.
Yeah,
okay, so we got the NBA draft coming up. What are the Bucks looking for?
Yeah, they get the 23rd and 33rd picks overall, and I actually think they're going to use them. Maybe they'll get some players, and then they'll swap them out because the Bucks need to get, you know, an experienced but younger veteran to add to their run if they're going to compete with a team like the Celtics, who ended up winning the championship the other day. And here's this other story that J.J. Redick, a former Buck player, he played on 6 different teams, 15 years. He's the new head coach of the L.A. Lakers. He's never played for them before. He's been an analyst on ESPN. He's the new head coach, and everyone's scratching their head. This guy's never the only time he's coached was his son's youth basketball team. So the Lakers making another weird choice for head coach.
Can I tell you a quick in the booth story? When I worked at WSB Radio in Atlanta, we were the main station for the Atlanta Braves.
Sure.
We were the anchor station for it, and we controlled what went out on the network. So Ted Turner owned the Atlanta Braves at the time. So he used to occasionally go in the booth. This one particular day, he was drunk. And he was in the booth with Skip Carey, and I forget who else was in the booth with him.
Uh-huh.
And he started saying things he shouldn't say, like one of the players was from the Dominican Republic. He said, we picked that little banana picker out of the field.
And
yes, he was using horrible. So the manager of the station said, get him out of the booth. I said, get him out of the booth. I'm not up there. He said, cut him. Put a commercial in. Cut him now. And so I did, and I had to call Skip Carey and said, Elmo Ellis doesn't want him on his radio station.
Uh-huh.
He was drunk, and he was saying derogatory things about the players. And, I had to cut Ted Turner.
Here you are, like an early 20s producer of this, you know, statewide, all across Georgia in the South game.
Yeah.
Cut off Ted Turner. Wow.
Yeah, he was really getting bad, and Skip Carey didn't control him because he's Skip Carey's boss.
He's the boss.
Yeah.
That's, how awkward. That's a great story.
There was one more quick one. I was running the game. And it was on our FM station because we had Georgia football on, University of Georgia football on our AM. And it was on the FM, and I was running the commercials for the network, and I got sidetracked, and I wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, the phone started lighting up, all the affiliates. What happened to the break? There was nothing there.
Uh-oh.
And Skip Carey comes on and says, I guess the engineer fell asleep. I know. That's what happens when you're the main cog running the network.
Well, I have radio on like 30 stations across the state of Georgia.
Hey. Now, I can chalk it up to say I was 24, 25 years old, and I was stupid. But I can't do that anymore. Hey, Mike, you stay well, my friend, and
okay.
We'll talk to you next Friday once again with more sports. And thank you very much for covering all the sports for Civic Media and, of course, WRJN. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Don. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye now. All right, Mike Clemens, local news, Tam Lissitz, WRJN. It's exactly.